The question of Maror at the Seder becomes a question fundamentally of what type of substance is the correct substance to use for Maror. Now we know from the Gemara that Maror is a kind of a vegetable which grows from the ground. The bracha of Maror has to be Borei Pri HaAdamah, but it still doesn't help us making a decision what the Maror should be. The Mishnah in Psachim, which some of you may be acquainted with, seems to make it seem like there are five very specific things that are required for maror, five specific kinds of substances which qualify as maror, and it has to be one of those five. Namely, just as for matzah, it has to be made from one of a very small number of grains, so too maror has to be from one of five very specific species. Now the Mishnah says, "Elu yurako sha'adam yotze." These are the vegetables, right? A very small list. Tamcha, charchabina, chazeret, ulshin, and maror. It's got to be one of those five things. Chazeret is chasa. Ulshin is something called hindvi, which may sound familiar to you as endives, which is what some people have for their maror. Tamcha, the Gemara says, is tamcha. Maror, the Gemara says, is maror. So essentially, the Mishnah has a list of things that qualify as maror. We don't really know the list, what these things are in Hebrew. And then the Gemara translates it into Aramaic, and we don't really know what these things are in Aramaic, with the exception of chasa. You may know that word from modern Hebrew. Chasa is what we would call lettuce. And Rashi even translates chasa into French as lituga, which I think is etymologically related to lettuce. It begins with the same lut as lettuce. So lettuce seems to be one of the things on the list. Other than lettuce, it's hard to figure out what any of these things are. Rashi says that hindavi is something called kresfala in French. We are looking at the Gemara, and the Gemara in Psachim does seem to really indicate to us that maror has to be a finite, specific list of things. And if the Gemara in Psachim makes it seem that it has to be this very, very specific list of things, then you'd get the impression that we would have to use one of those things. And if one of those things is lettuce, then that should be what we use because that was one of the things in the Gemara's list that it should be lettuce. The Rambam gives us this perspective. The Rambam writes, Achilas maror ain a mitzvah min haTorah b'fnei atzma tzula b'achilas haPesach. The Rambam notes at the beginning that maror is only a biblical mitzvah in years that you have the Korban Pesach. Midivrei sofrim le'achol amar levado b'layla hazeh, and midrabanan it applies even when there's no Korban Pesach. Maror and amurim b'Torah, when the Torah says maror, chazeres ulshin tamcha charchabona maror, the same list as the Gemara. Kol echad michamishas mina yerek elu nikra maror. Any of these five things are included in maror. So the impression that you get from the Rambam, which was also the impression you got from the Mishnah and from the beginning of the Gemara, is that it is limited to this finite list. If this finite list includes a bunch of things that we don't know what they are, but lettuce and also lettuce, then our maror should be lettuce. When you continue in the Gemara in Psachim, you find rabbis who start adding many other things onto the list of acceptable marors. One person adds something called charchalin, one person adds asvas, and tura, and maryarur, and chargaririn, and hardafunin, and arkavalin. Again, and the point here is that you start seeing that maybe we misunderstood when we thought it was five specific kinds of maror, and maybe it's even more expansive. the Acherim in the Gemara say, kol yerek mar, any vegetable that's bitter, yesh lo saraf, and it has a some kind of liquid in it, ufana mechasifin, and it's not super green, and am Rav Huna halacha ke'acherim, and Rav Huna says, the halacha follows the acherim. So later on in your Gemara, you get the impression that maybe anything, you know, could be acceptable for the maror as long as it's bitter. Now, this distinction is going to be super, super important. Because if you take the initial approach and the approach that we found in the Rambam, we're going to be running around to try to find what was the maror that God gave to Moshe on Har Sinai, and we have to use exactly that kind of maror. The more you take this other approach in the Gemara, the more you're going to reason that really, it doesn't really matter which one it is. As long as it is something bitter, that would really be sufficient for us as long as it is something that is, you know, has a bitter taste. I mentioned that the Rambam is an authority who seems to be very much associated with the view that it is specifically these five kinds of maror. And the other view, to find a rabbi associated with the other view, that it really can be anything as long as it's bitter, is the view of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch was written by Rabbi Aaron Halevi, and the Sefer HaChinuch has a summary. Rabbi Aaron Halevi lived in Spain in the late 13th century. He was the student of the Ramban and the teacher of the Ritva. And the Ra'a writes, Komash Pirshu B'Marorim, when we talk about Maror, Shekol Esiv Mar Hu B'Chlal Marorim. Anything that is bitter is sufficient for Maror. V'she'adam yotzi yidei chovaso b'chulan, and you can fulfill your mitzvah with any maror. L'fi she'atzava lanu b'maror zecher l'v'mayiru es chayehem. The whole purpose of maror is to remember how bitter the lives of our ancestors were. L'v'chol eisev mar yiskor davar, and any bitter herb can remind us of that. So and then he goes on and he says that for whatever reason, it's better to use lettuce. But his approach seems to be that it's not a specific kind of thing. It's anything that is bitter. So again, to review, when you look at the Gemara, you get two impressions. One impression from the Gemara is it's specific things. And the other impression from the Gemara is it's anything that's bitter. You look at the Rishonim, the Rambam seems to support anything that is only those specific things. The Sefer HaChinuch, Rabbi Aaron Halevi, seems to say only anything that's bitter. And so the Gemara wasn't conclusive, and the Rishonim weren't conclusive either, and now we don't know what to do for maror. Whatever maror was eaten in the Middle Eastern environments of the Mishnah and also the Gemara, and whichever maror the Rambam ate living in Egypt, you Jews of Europe are living in a very different environment. It's colder, and so different things grow. Not only is it colder, but around the Mediterranean, you have boats which can ship goods and produce from one place to another. In Northern Europe, that's a lot harder because, there's less avenues for trade and transportation. And so lettuce wasn't accessible, and people started using horseradish. You actually don't see mentions of Jews using horseradish for maror until the 14th century. But the 14th century, the Jews of Northern Europe had basically been using horseradish. And this creates sort of a question whether horseradish is acceptable or not. Now, a good authority to look at who raises this question is in the Shu'at Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi writes, the Artsos Ashkenaz Upolania, Ashkenaz, of course, Germany, and Polania, of course, Poland, Shehen Karot, these are very cold lands, Eno Matsui Bizman HaPesach, the lettuce is not ready to be picked. If you look outside in the northeast of the United States, there's still snow on the ground on Pesach. They don't have green leafy lettuce that's available to be eaten. And he says, "Hurgalu lekachad lechobas matzus maror." They don't take this for maror because they don't have lettuce, and instead they take horseradish. And says that this is the opinion of some rabbis believe this is what the Gemara allowed as well. But he says, "Nafik mine churba, you shouldn't use horseradish." Kein rabo satama arech in amochlas afilu kachasi zayis machmas churpe. So he says, I think horseradish could work as maror, because after all, horseradish tastes pretty bitter. It's a bitter herb, and we have it in Europe. But he says the bigger problem with horseradish is that it's so bitter that you can't eat a kazayas. We know that a kazayas is the water displacement of an ounce of water. If you had a piece of horseradish that was an ounce, it would be nearly impossible to eat it. So the Chacham Tzvi seems to think that horseradish is viable, is a possible option, because after all, it does taste pretty bitter, and after all, they had access to it, and after all, you say Bari Pri Adama. But he's worried that people don't eat enough of it for the maror, and that's why he thinks maybe it shouldn't be used. The Magen Avraham, Rabbi Avram Gombinder, says, maror demasnisin kola l'chol yirakos hamarim. He agrees with the Chinuch, Rabbi Aaron Alevi, that anything really counts as maror. He also quotes Rashi and Chumash, that Rashi and Chumash says, Kol Esev Mar Nikra Maror, anything bitter works. He says he's not sure if that's what the Gemara says. So he raises both possibilities. And the Mishnah Berurah, living in the 19th century, says that there's this thing that some people are using, which is lettuce. And he says, the Mishnah Berurah says, some people use lettuce, but how can you use lettuce? Because lettuce isn't bitter. So he explains that even though lettuce isn't bitter, when you eat fresh lettuce, it isn't bitter. And at the end, when it starts to... the reverse. He says that when you eat it, when you eat it fresh, it's not bitter. If you let it spoil a little bit, then it becomes bitter. And that reminds us of Mitzrayim, that at first power was nice to the Jews, and then afterwards thing became a little bit more difficult. But then he says that you shouldn't use lettuce because there are bugs in the lettuce, and a Jew is not allowed to eat bugs. And therefore he says, really what you should do is you should maybe use horseradish instead of the lettuce. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is raising here a very important point about lettuce isn't bitter, so how can we use it? The Mishnah Berurah raised a very important issue regarding maror, why exactly you're allowed to use lettuce that may not be bitter. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that the lettuce does get bitter eventually, but we actually have some more scientific evidence around that question. The issue is that there is wild lettuce that grows in Israel. The scientific name for that is Lactuca cereola is totally different kind of lettuce. This wild lettuce, which apparently still grows in Israel, is incredibly, incredibly bitter. Not only that, but it has a sap, and the Gemara said that the maror of the Seder needs to have a sap, and it tastes very, very, bitter. So the question becomes, how do we consider this particular lettuce today? Do you say, like the Rambam, that the Gemara limited maror to five specific things? And the Gemara said lettuce. And the Gemara meant the lettuce that grew in Israel in the time, a very bitter lettuce. And therefore, can you use romaine lettuce that is sold in an American supermarket? No, you can't, because it's a different subtype of lettuce. Or do you say the reverse? that the Mishnah said lettuce, and it's like a general category of lettuce. And once it's in the general category of lettuce, then you are allowed to use romaine lettuce in the Seder. It comes out that it's possible that both of the typical marors are both problematic. It could be that the horseradish is problematic, as the Chacham Tzvi said, because the horseradish is too pungent. And it could be that the lettuce is problematic because it's the wrong kind of lettuce and not the lettuce, the lettuce that we use is not the lettuce that grew in Israel. And so it's possible that actually neither romaine lettuce nor horseradish should be used, and maybe even endives, which is the third thing that some people use, maybe even endives is the better thing to use for maror. Both of the marors have a primary problem and also a sort of secondary problem. The primary problem of lettuce is that it doesn't appear on the list, and the primary problem of horseradish is that it doesn't appear on the list. Again, we've demonstrated that lettuce is not on the list of the Mishnah because the Mishnah lists five specific things, and it's the different kind of lettuce. And also, horseradish is not on the list of the Mishnah. Horseradish did not grow in Israel, and therefore, it's clearly not the correct one in the Mishnah. Also, and we should note this as well, reasons to think that horseradish is not the maror of the Mishnah is that in lettuce you eat the leaf, and the Gemara talks about eating the leaf and the stalk of the maror, but horseradish is a root vegetable. You eat neither the root, you eat neither the stalk nor the leaf. You eat the root. So we can say that the Gemara and the Mishnah were not talking about lettuce because they were talking about a different kind of lettuce, and they were not talking about a horseradish because they were talking about a vegetable where you ate the leaf and also the stalk and not the root. I would also add that scientifically, horseradish is not bitter. Horseradish is sharp. Horseradish has a sharp taste, which means it really hits you like a big zetz. But it's not bitter. Bitter, of course, scientifically, is something which is a base in chemically and tastes bitter. And the horseradish tastes sharp, but not bitter. So there's a primary reason not to like horseradish because it wasn't in the Mishnah. There's a primary reason not to like romaine lettuce. It wasn't in the Mishnah. Then there's a secondary reason not to like horseradish. And the secondary reason is it's very, very hard to eat a full shear of a kazayas. And then there's a secondary reason not to like the lettuce because you don't feel it. It doesn't, when you're eating it, it doesn't really, you don't feel any marirus. And also the issue of the bugs. So there's plenty of reasons not to like lettuce and plenty of reasons not to like horseradish. What is a Jew to do when there are two options that have traditionally been used and both of the options have numerous significant problems? So I'll suggest two possible solutions about what a Jew can do if they don't want to use either of the options which appear in the earlier sources. One possible solution is to eat both. Some people report that maybe the Rav did this, is to eat both marors and to basically say, listen, I see the problems with each of them. If I eat the romaine lettuce, I didn't really feel the zets of the marirus. I see the problem of the horseradish, that it was harder for me to eat a shear, or it didn't grow in Israel, so I'm going to eat both, and hopefully one of them works. That's one option. A second option, which most people don't do, but some people do, is to say, listen, the lettuce just doesn't work because, again, it's not the bitter lettuce of the Mishnah. The horseradish doesn't work. We understand why our ancestors used these things. It's what they had access to. And obviously, you have to respect the fact that they could only use what they had access to. But now that we have access to more things, we should really find vegetables that are bitter. Again, endives, I believe, actually are bitter. I think kale is bitter. And to potentially use new vegetables, which are potentially, bitter. I don't really know how to recommend or advise people what to do. Because I'm not sure myself of the different choices what to do, what is the best right choice to do. But I do think that this is something important to be thoughtful about and not to just go through the motions when we're eating maror and not to realize that there's two major traditions, problem with both major traditions, and then sort of this third option of it doesn't have to be something that's specific to the Gemara. It doesn't have to be something that we have a tradition for. It really should be whatever is bitter. And what you really need to do is go out to the store, taste test all the vegetables, find a vegetable which is bitter, but that you can still eat a kazayas of, and just choose that. And that should be the thing, the substance that you eat for your maror.